in a world today where some people, who I think they must be crazy, do not want to honor our veterans and many times try to dishonor them, I want to make sure people understand that Faith Baptist Church has always been a place that loves our country and loves our veterans too, and thankful for the years of service and sacrifice that they've done, and we truly do appreciate that. I've looked at this passage before on Veterans Day, but I'd like to take a look at it from a different spin. And the title of this morning's message is A Good Soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, is that found in the Bible? It's actually found here in verse number three, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and jump right in. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Our main focus is going to be 3, 4, and 5. First, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing this book to Timothy. He's writing this letter to Timothy. Paul, as we know, and we looked at last week just for a minute, he is in a jail cell knowing that he is getting ready to be offered up. He's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to be martyred for the cause of Christ. And he's speaking to Timothy, and Paul is someone who has endured affliction, has endured hardship, and he's telling Timothy, hey, look, let's be strong. And he's not even talking about physical things here. He mentions at the end of verse number 1, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, where our strength is from. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, be strong in the Lord. That's what our strength is in. Verse number 2, the Bible says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. It's a wonderful verse about the things that we've learned is something we should be able to commit to others. And the purpose of committing those things to another is to teach them so that way it can continue on teaching, go pass down. We shall be able to teach others also and teach others also from year after year. And I think that some of the heritage that is found in America and what has stood for over all of these years have been passed down, that have been taught to some faithful men and faithful ladies, and has been passed down, and many times even through our veterans. Verse number 3, he begins to use some analogies. He begins to give you a little bit of some illustrations. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul is here, and according to what we know about Paul, he was never a soldier of Jesus. He was never a soldier to fight into a military. Was never a Roman soldier, was never a soldier from where he was, excuse me, because of a background that we know. But he does use this illustration as a soldier at different times in the Bible. We're going to look at that in a little while. But he tells Timothy, hey, look, you need to learn to endure something. You've got to endure the hardness of what it means to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. And then he continues with a couple more illustrations. If a man also strive for masteries, this is referring to a runner, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Verse number 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. He says in verse number 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So he says after he uses these different analogies, one talking about a runner, one talking about a farmer, and one talking about a soldier. He says, consider what I'm saying, and that the Lord would give you good understanding. So this morning, I'd like to look at this and just for a little while, understand what it means, according to the scriptures, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today, and let God work in our hearts and lives. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I don't want today just to be another church service, another day that's checked off the boxes. But instead, God, we want you to work in our hearts and our minds. We want you to work in our lives. Lord, as we've been talking about the church the last few Sundays, the church is bigger than us and bigger than our own emotions and our own feelings. It's a greater cause, one for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would be connected in, that we would learn to strive together as a people with the same spirit and with the same mind for the faith of the gospel. And Lord, that means that we're going to have to take roles that is described in scriptures as sometimes a hardship. Sometimes we're going to have to endure through things. And Lord, I pray that we be ready. And Lord, that we be disciplined enough to continue on and be faithful. So we can also, as it says in verse number 2, to teach others, to commit it to others, so they can commit it to the future generations. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not a guy, but when I grew up, I had my grandfather who he passed away when I was 4 or 5. He served in the military. And I have a father-in-law who served in the Vietnam War. I did not know a lot of different people that had served in the military. And when I came here, I began to meet people, especially being a town where the Coast Guard's at. I began to know people and have friends and even learn about more family that has served in our military and had a greater respect for what those that have served in our military does. Now, here, we want to talk about a different type of soldier. We're going to kind of go back and forth and look a little bit at what it means to be a soldier serving in the armed forces, but also what it means to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. I remember as a kid, we used to sing those songs, "I'm in the Lord's army," and they would have those motions, and it really didn't mean much. You know, I said, "I'm in the Lord's army," the motions were cool. But as you get older and you know people who have served in the military and you understand the sacrifices and the service that they have given to a nation, it's something that is expected to every believer that is in the army of the Lord. And I believe every believer should be an active member and serving the Lord and serving in the Lord's army. Here, first thing I want you to understand is Paul understood about being a good soldier. Point number one is Paul understood about being a good soldier. You look at verse number 3, it says, "Thou therefore," it says, "endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ." He is telling Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, I've endured a lot of different things. I've been through the shipwrecks. I've been through the places where I didn't have enough to eat. I've been through dangerous places. I have been attacked. I've been stoned." And he says, "Now I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to be offered up, and I consider you my son in the faith, and I love you, and I care about you. Now, I want you to endure hardness." And you say, "Well, who is Paul to use the illustration about a soldier when he is never a soldier?" Well, he is someone who understood what it meant to be a good soldier. It's because he's someone that understood hardness. He's someone who understood hardness. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:1, he tells us that he was an apostle in the will of God. And fulfilling his role that God had called him to, he had faced difficulties. He had faced disappointments. He had faced deprivation. He had faced many things that were hardness. And Paul had a choice. When he was facing these things, when he was facing the shipwrecks and being put in prison, even now, writing this, penning this letter, he is saying, "Hey, I'm ready to be offered up. I fought a good fight." He could choose and he could go to Nero and say, "Hey, Nero, I want nothing to do with Christianity. I recant all those things." And they probably would have let him go free. That's all they wanted. But Paul says, no, we're going to persevere. We're going to endure, and we're going to continue on. So one of the reasons why Paul understood what it meant to be a good soldier is because he is someone who has endured many different things. He teaches us that in any life, whether as an apostle or as a lay person and serving the Lord and having a godly calling on your life, you will face hardship. He even writes later on in this exact same book, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He has served, he has passed the test. Even now, he's in prison in the later years of his life as he writes this letter, and he's concerned. He's concerned about Timothy, his younger man that he loves and he led to the Lord. He says, "Is Timothy going to fulfill the ministry? Is Timothy going to be able to handle the battles? Is Timothy going to be able to go through the things I've gone through?" And he writes these words. He says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Later on in the same book, he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." He instructs him to exhorts, to counsels, to warns. He prays for Timothy. And one of the reasons why I think Paul could write this, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ," is because he knew what hardness was. I look across the room and I see some people who have been through things. People who have had major health scares, and people who have lost loved ones, husbands or wives, maybe too early. And I think about my life, and of course, I face a little bit of difficulty here, a little bit of difficulty there. But when it comes to the real hardships of life, I can't say, you know, I face the things that Paul has faced and that I have faced the things that some of you have faced. But I also know and understand that as Paul is writing this, there is difficulty. There is hardship. There is afflictions that you will face. If you want to live godly, there is going to be persecutions that will come your way. So some of the things that Paul understood, the first thing, he understood what it meant to endure through hardship. Second thing, he understood soldiers. He said, Pastor, he had never been a soldier. Yes, but he is someone who had been around soldiers. If you think about it, even while sitting there, he's probably guarded. We get the picture of him being chained to four different soldiers at different times. We get the picture that he spent 2 years at one point in time being chained to different soldiers that would rotate in and out. Even one time, out of protection in Acts 23, it says that 200 soldiers and 200 spearmen and 70 horsemen became his personal escort out of town just to protect him. Under house arrest, he was guarded by a soldier night and day for over 2 years. Paul was also chained to a soldier as he wrote these very words. So we understand Paul has seen the soldiers, how they behave. He's seen how they obey commanding orders. And as we consider for a moment what Paul had learned from these soldiers, he's not just talking about any soldiers. He's talking about Roman soldiers. And history tells us the patriotism of the Romans made them almost undefeatable. It wasn't the soldiers' fault why the Roman Empire fell. They were taught, and they took an oath, to never desert was their standard. Their standard was a golden eagle, an object of fondest devotion. He was supposed to submit to the will of his commands of the leader. He was supposed to sacrifice his life for the safety of the emperor and the empire. Soldiers were inspired by pay, but it was excellent pay, and they were inspired by fear. They understand that the centurions could correct them with blows and that the generals could authorize to chastise them with death. And Paul would see the disciplined and devoted life of a Roman soldier. And he would make this analogy. He would say, hey, endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ, because he's seen these soldiers. He's seen the devotion that they had, and he's seen the discipline they had. And he says, this is what you're going to need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not only did he understand endurance and enduring hardships, and not only did he understand soldiers also, I believe he's someone who understood that Christians are supposed to be soldiers in the Lord's army. It's just a metaphor, but it's a metaphor that Paul enjoyed writing. He talked about it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, when he talked about Epaphroditus was a fellow soldier. Later on, he talks about in the book of Philemon how he calls Archippus a fellow soldier. He describes the armor of God in Ephesians chapter number 6. He talks about it being a battle. And sometimes when you make it a war and you say you're supposed to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you say you're just a preacher. You're just going over the top. Our Christian lives are not supposed to be about being a soldier. It's not supposed to be about fighting. It's not supposed to be about a battle. Our Christian lives are just supposed to be easy living. Things that, you know, we don't get the same problems, that have the same issues. We don't have the same difficulties. Paul doesn't write it that way. We don't teach and preach a prosperity gospel because the apostles, none of them claimed that. None of them thought that's the way. Instead, they said, hey, be prepared. You're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. And Paul understood what it meant to endure hardness. Paul understood what it meant to be a soldier. Paul understood what it meant to be a soldier in the Lord's army. Paul's encouraging Timothy to live a strong life, a strong Christian life. He uses his analogy. He talks about weapons of a warfare. He describes spiritual warfare on a regular basis. Now, here's the question. We honor our veterans. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for their service and their sacrifice. But what type of soldier would you be today? Would you be a good soldier in the Lord's army? We're all in a battle. We're all in a spiritual battle. Once a person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're put into the family of God. And whether they choose to recognize it or not, they enter into a spiritual battle that will not end until the day they get up to heaven. I read where one preacher said, what type of soldier would you be? If you followed God's commands the way that a soldier followed the commands of his leader, what would happen to that soldier that was in the military? Would you be court-martialed? Or would you be given a medal for good service? Again, make me think, you know, we expect our military to follow commands and follow lead. That's a way of life. That's what has to happen. That's the oath they take. But God gives us commands, and God gives us rules, and God gives us directives to live by. And many times, if we're supposed to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, what type of honor would we be bringing to ourselves as a soldier? This morning, I want to encourage you to think about it. On this weekend where we honor our veterans, we're thankful for their sacrifice and their service. The analogy is found right here in the scriptures. As soldiers of Jesus Christ, what type of soldier would we be? Then I began thinking, not just about what Paul knew, what Paul understood about what it means to be a good soldier, but also the word that really struck me this week was the word endure in verse number 3. Thou therefore endure. What a good soldier will have to endure, I began to think about. I talked to some people in the military. I did some reading talking about what some of the hardest things that they had to endure as part of being inside the armed forces. Some said you had to do your job without grumbling or complaining. When they use words like honor, duty, and country, like you'll see that's said as they're folding the flag at a military funeral, he says those are not just words, those are a focus. Those are things that we live by. There's a loyalty that is expected, and there is a pleasing of our commanding officer that was needed. And I read these same words. It says in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. The idea is that we're trying to please the Lord. And as you consider some of the things that a soldier or a military individual, because I know soldiers only recognize a portion of them. I know that there's sailors. I know there's airmen. I know there's different ones that recognize in different ways. But they said the number one hard thing was separation from family. The hardest thing that for many of the people who served, they said it was when I had to be separated from my family for a period of time. They're always on call at a moment's notice. They are gone sometimes from a loved one. I know that some people stay here stateside and the family travels with them, but many get on a plane, they get on a ship, and they're separated from his or her family for long periods of times. It'd be easy for us to say, I would never do something like that, but we should thank the Lord for those who do, and they deserve our support and our prayer. See, our service to Christ may require long hours of separation from birthplace. It may require long hours in separation from our parents. It may require that we separate from other things that are going to drag us down. But in our Christian life, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, sometimes God calls us to go somewhere. You think about Paul and Paul's life, and people often wonder, was Paul ever married or was Paul not? And that's a whole different discussion. But he traveled. He was away from his family. We think of those missionaries that have those letters that back there that have left their families many times for years at a time. They've chosen to leave, and one of the hardest things they say is, I miss family. One of the things that I enjoyed as looking through the veteran videos and considering all the things, one of the things I enjoyed watching was when the families would reunite. I don't know if you ever watched those before. And I don't spend hours watching it, but as I was looking through the videos, you watched the kid be surprised that their dad was brought home unexpectedly or as a surprise, and how they love each other, and they run and they hug, and over there's special times and there's special moments, and I think, man, to have to be separated. Now, I've been separated from my wife for a few days before. Now, we're not talking about marital separation. We're talking about she's gone on a trip or she's done, even today, she's in Maryland and she's going to be back for this evening service. They're going to have choir practice tonight. So don't think your kids aren't going to have choir practice. They're going to have children's choir practice tonight. She's traveling back even as we speak. The other church had an early church service where she grew up, where her parents are at. And, you know, these couple of days, I miss her. I couldn't imagine doing it for a long period of time. I'm thankful for those that have. There's not only the hardship of being separated from the family, but hardship of uncertainty. When a soldier says goodbye and heads off to who knows where, he will be in unfamiliar surroundings and perhaps sometimes in dangerous circumstances. The question is, will he come home? What will his next assignment be? What will the reaction to his assignment be? And I think about it, in the Lord's army, God calls us sometimes to places that we're not really sure what's next. What the responsibility as a Christian that's in the Lord's army is surrender first and say, God, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to go, and whatever you want me to do. We've always heard people say, I don't want to surrender to God because if I surrender to God, he might send me to the Arctic Circle, or he might send me to Africa, or he might send me to some remote area. Yes, there's uncertainty that's there. But if someone could say America is worth serving and saying the uncertainty is that I need to follow my orders and I need to do it, shouldn't we do the same for the Lord? Shouldn't we, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, be willing to face sometimes separation from things of the world, even sometimes separation of friends that might drag us down, even sometimes separation if God calls us to another side of the planet? Shouldn't we be willing to also face that uncertainty too? Yeah, we don't know what it might cost us, but they were willing. If men and women are willing to serve a nation in uncertain circumstances, surely we should be willing to trust and follow our loving and kind Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's sovereign. He knows all things. If he's calling us, sometimes when someone is sent to a battle or sent into an area, that the person in charge might not know there's danger around the corner. And God, when he calls us and sends us, he knows exactly what's going to happen. There's a hardness of separating from family and hardness of uncertainty. I think about the hardness of deprivation. You know, you think about sometimes the elements. You think about this only having MREs to eat. You think about the mental and physical fatigue. You think about some of the things that I remember reading about those that fought in Iraq, about the things that they wore were 140 degrees inside their chemical suits and 110 in the shade. You know, there's a lot of different things that that people had to face, and there's sometimes when circumstances are not always the easiest. And Paul is here, and he's writing it from jail. He says, look, sometimes circumstances are not going to be the way you want it, but the Lord will provide everything you need. And we think about this veteran today, we want to honor them, but am I being a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Am I really, truly willing to slap on the armor? Am I really, truly willing to face separation and face uncertainty and face hardness for the cause? Because these are the things that Paul is saying. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, as things are approaching, as I'm gone, I'm not going to be here anymore, but I want you to face these afflictions. I want you to face these hardships. And then you think about the hardship of combat. As I told you, my father-in-law was someone who served in Vietnam. I have a lot of respect for my father-in-law, and it's something he doesn't talk about very much. He says he saw things there that he wished he had never seen. The battle that raged, and I know there's many times men that feel the same way and ladies that may feel the same way. And I think about the combat that many times people have experienced. It's the combat that we're in today. It's a spiritual warfare that lies all around us. And the hardness, the things that are enduring, it means that we need to continue on fighting. We need to continue on persevering. We need to continue on. Yes, there's a battle, but if we give up, if we just turn in and live like the world, you know what's going to happen? We're going to fail. We're no longer going to be considered a good soldier. That's what Timothy is saying. Hey, look, I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we see some of the hardships they endured. Last but not least, let's look at some of the requirements of a good soldier. We see what Paul understood about being a good soldier. We also saw what a good soldier must endure. But look at some of the requirements that are here. It's found in verse number 4. It says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. There's two things I want you to think about here. The first thing, a requirement of being a good soldier means that we're not going to be entangled with the things of this world. We're not going to be entangled with the things of this world. We're going to have to walk as we're talking in Sunday school class. I know some of you teach, some of you might not have been here, but the lesson this morning was a portion of it was about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And talked about how if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we cannot be filled with something else. It talked about, you know, be not drunk with wine which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. It talks about being filled with God's Spirit. And if you're filled with something else, you're not going to be filled with God's Spirit. Say, how does that have any comparison here? Well, if your mind and your heart and your things, as it says in verse number 4, warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, if a soldier's mind is entangled with the things of this world and the affairs of life, if he gets his mind off of the war, if he gets his mind off the battle, he puts himself in danger and he puts those that are around him, his fellow soldiers, in danger because he's tangled with the wrong things. And here, if we are filled with something else, we're not going to be able to be filled with the Spirit of God. The illustration there is if you're drunk, guess what? The liquor, the alcohol, it takes over. It controls you. It's the one that influences you. And they says, don't be influenced. Don't be controlled by that. But instead, be controlled and influenced by the Spirit of God. And so as the scriptures are teaching here, he says, look, endure Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't entangle yourself with the things of this world. Don't get so worked up. Don't get so connected. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you're going to be a good soldier, there's going to be certain things that you're going to have to be filled with. There's going to have to be certain things that you're interested in. And you cannot be filled with the Spirit of God and be filled with something else. I mentioned this morning, you can't be filled with anger and be filled with the Spirit of God. You can't be filled with bitterness and be filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, there's got to be one focus and there's got to be one mind. There's got to be something that you're headed towards. And if you're so worried and you're so concerned about who's winning the World Series back there or what's going on in this area or that area, you say, Pastor, aren't you supposed to be thinking about your home? Aren't you supposed to be thinking about, that's part of your, you want to fulfill your responsibilities, you want to fulfill your duties so you can get home. That's your goal. And that's what we're looking at here as a soldier of Jesus Christ. We get so many times attached to possessions and projects and personal interests and professions and people that we get entangled to the point that we're no longer a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the last point is, as you look at down there, it says at the end of verse number 4, that he may please him who have chosen him to be soldier. You know, Paul's writing this, says, Timothy, don't work to be pleasing to me. Don't do this to please your mom or your dad. He says, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to get entangled. Stop getting mixed up with the world, because if you're mixed up with the world, you're not going to be a good soldier, because our lives are based around this point. I need to please my commanding officer. One of the things that I was reading into my research and talking to others that have been in the military, you know, it was our job to obey the commanding officer. And that someday, as we look forward to the day we meet Christ, we're looking forward to him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I think you could say, well done, thou good and faithful soldier too. What would Christ say today about your battle, your war? Most of the people I know in this room that have served in our country are of the utmost character. And I believe, from what I would understand about them, they would probably be good soldiers, good military personnel. They served out of duty and with honor and courage. How do we serve today? It's saying here, it's not something I'm making up. He calls it a soldier. It's referred to a soldier a number of times. It's a spiritual battle. And so many times we don't take our Christian life serious. We play a game. We think Christianity is something that happens for Sunday morning when we feel like getting up and feel like being a part. But he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. He tells us to stand there for. He tells us to fight. And as Paul is writing this and as he's getting ready to give his life, he says, look, I want you to endure the hardness. He says, be a good soldier, Jesus Christ. Don't get entangled with the things. Because if you get entangled with the things of this world, you're not going to be a good soldier. If you live to please other things besides your commanding officer, you're not going to be a good soldier. There's got to be a focus that's there. To be a good soldier, to endure hardness. There's a victory to be won. Then you think about, just for a second, verse number 5, he uses an illustration. He says, well, I don't get the illustration when it comes to the soldier. I've never been a soldier. I think it's an easy illustration. You get verse number 5, it talks about those that are a runner. And it talks about a man also strive for masteries. And yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. That even those that are an athlete will run a race, and they'll run for a crown, and they'll have to do it the right way. And then in verse number 7, it says, in verse number 6, the husband and that laborer must be first partaker of the fruits. It talked about the farmer and dealing with his harvest. He's saying, consider what I'm saying. Whether it's being a soldier or an athlete or a farmer, there is a right way of doing things. Are you doing these things lawfully? Are you doing these things rightfully? Are you, the soldier sees the victory, the athlete sees the crown, the farmer sees the harvest. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, what would you be called? So this morning, I want us to consider and be thankful for the service and sacrifice of our veterans. But I also like for us to think about what it means to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, why do you make such a big deal out of this? Because the lost souls of mankind that hang in the balance. He gives us these analogies. He teaches us these things, the importance and the reality of the battle that we're in. And we would envision that, hey, I would be a good soldier if I was ever called. I'd be willing to fight if I ever had to fight. There is a battle that you're in, and it's for the lives and souls of mankind. Many times, we don't even line up. We don't even answer a roll call because we're sleeping through the harvest. Today, I want to say, I want to be a good soldier. I want to be one that pleases the one who's called me, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And today, I want to encourage you to view your Christian life not just as some type of ticket to get out of hell, but as a responsibility that we have to please our Lord and Savior. And he uses the analogy as a good soldier. You hear this morning and say, Pastor, I don't understand anything you're talking about. Why would a person want to fight the fight? And what? Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible teaches us that every person that has ever lived with the exclusion of Jesus Christ, because he was virgin born, has a sin nature. And that sin nature and the sin that we have in our life causes us to have a penalty or a debt to pay. And that we're all sinners, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we are all destined to a horrible place called hell. But Jesus Christ and God the Father saw our need, and he commended his love toward us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us to pay our sin debt for us. And if we will turn to him by faith and with repentance and ask him to save us, we can have a home in the heaven. We can be part of God's family. We can be a soldier in the Lord's army. Today, what type of soldier are you? As we honor those, and even doing a little bit of research, I asked, was everybody a good soldier? And the answer was no, not everybody was a good soldier. Not everybody followed, not everybody. Some people got tangled up in the things of the world. Some people weren't focused. Some people didn't care about pleasing. Let's not be a bad soldier today. Let's let God work in our hearts about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.